Serve an awesome God, is that right? Amen. We give God the glory and the praise. Let's give the choir a hand. Amen. And I didn't get a chance to introduce him, but Brother Lee Walker. Amen. Yeah, we've been out the last couple of Sundays. No wish of my own, but things happen. Amen. And I do say to you, don't take your mask for granted. God is good. God is good. Amen. And we're here at homecoming. Amen. Amen. We're just glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time and give God praise. I'm going to change things up a little bit because we have the Nightingales. They're in the house. Somebody say, in the house. And they'll be coming to give us some music afterwards. And we've enjoyed the music before, but we need the word in between. So what we're going to do is get things out of the way. Those of you that have placed your orders, make sure that the ushers get that. And then after I speak, we'll have the offering and the announcements, and that'll give the group time to set up so we can get things in place so you can enjoy the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Look at somebody and greet them in the name of the Lord. Just tell them it's good to be here. I don't know whether I'm going to get a chance to sing this little song before I preach today, but I want to just share it with you, because when you have something that you don't know what it is and you don't know how long it's going to stay, you just got to look up and give it to God. Amen. That's why I say, to God be the glory. Can you say that with me? To God be the glory. Come on, say it like you mean it. To God be the glory. Oh, yeah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. One day he saved me, and with his power, thank God he raised me. Oh, to God be the glory for the things my question. Here's my question. How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things I didn't deserve. Yet you proved your love for me. The voices of a million angels, they could not express all my gratitude. Can y'all say it with me? All that I have and ever hope to be, Lord, I owe it all. I owe it all. I owe it all to thee. That's why I can say, to God be the glory. To God praise today. Give it praise today. To God be the glory. Oh, to God. To God be the glory. Be the glory. I want to invite your attention to a verse of scripture that has been on my heart. Psalms 19 and verse 1 is where we'll find our scripture text, but actually I'll be bringing some other scriptures that will fit along with the theme. Simply says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Another verse, Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Listen to what I'm saying. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Still talking about the glory of God. Last verse I bring is Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. From this, I want to leave a thought with you. I'm just going to be about 10, 15 minutes. Y'all got that much time? 10, 15 minutes. I want to talk about God's signature. Look at somebody and tell them God's signature. Look at somebody else, tell them God's signature. You may be seated. You don't need to gaze into the heavens or at nature and question yourself as to who made it. This verse declares so eloquently, God designed all of these things. God made it. God signed off on it. As a matter of fact, during his creative process, God would look at the work at the end of the first day and he said, that's good. He'd sign it. The second day, he would look at more work that he'd done. He said, that's good. And he signed it. He went on until he got to the sixth day and God said, it is very good. And he signed it, God's signature. What Solomon did in this passage is that he found, by recognizing God, not only are you able to see the wonders and the splendor of God, but somehow in that process of recognizing God, you're actually drawn closer to him. In other words, the more you praise him, the closer you're going to get to him. You can't praise somebody you don't know. You can't say hallelujah if you don't know anything to say hallelujah for. I wasn't going to preach right now, but somebody can say, he brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. It's good to praise him. It's good to praise him. And so Solomon records in this verse that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Night unto night. In other words, there's not a skip of a beat that you don't recognize that God's glory is there. But then Solomon, he gets back and he starts understanding that there's something else to it. He said their language is there, but then he says, if you really want to see God's signature, look at his word. Behold the glory of his word. Not just the wonders of his creation, but the glory of his word. And when God writes his word, he adds his signature. That's my word. I gave it. It's my world. I created it, but it's my word. I gave it. And so in the process of writing the psalm, I said Solomon, but really David wrote the psalm. And David gets back at the end of it. He said, Lord, now I'm looking at all this glory. And I'm looking at all of this splendor. And I'm saying to myself, I need to step up my work because you made me a special way. You didn't make me like the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. You didn't make me like the mammals that walk the earth, even though I'm a part of that category, according to man. You made me in your likeness. So he closes the psalm by saying, let the words of my and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in. In other words, I don't just want your image and glory on me. I want your glory to come out of me. I want folks to see your signature. Look at somebody for the second time and say, God's signature. So God signed it, and God is in the midst of it. 19 more minutes and I'm done. Michelangelo would do his work. He worked on the Sistine Chapel, and he painted it. And before he went blind, he added his signature. Now the work would have stood for itself, but he said, no, I don't want just to do the work. I'm going to sign it. Artists will sign their work to signify three things. One, quality. Quality. You don't put your name on something that's not quality. As a matter of fact, in the process of manufacturing, before many of these makers or these producers or manufacturers of products, before they would get to the end of their process and before they put the name on it, they said the quality has to go in. How many of y'all worked in a factory? So you know you had this thing called quality control. How many of y'all are quality control? Oh, folks got mad at you. You messed up their stuff. Man, I worked on this thing all day, and you tell me I got to start all over. But before the name goes on, the quality has to go in. Second thing about the artists and those that make things, they want to make sure that it's completed. Want to make sure that the work is completed, and so they'll sign it to let you know that it's completed. But then the third thing, ownership. Everybody say ownership. Only one reason and one reason only God will put his name on your life. You don't own God. God owns you. And he put his name there that he might declare his glory in you. So let's go back to the psalm and David, and he's saying the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his hand at work. But it was the plan of God all along to make man in his likeness. Genesis 1:26, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion like us. I know some of you feeling like you ain't ruling over much these days. You make money for other folks to spend. Can I get a witness in the building? But God has given you dominion, and so in giving you dominion, God wants you to know that if he's in control of your life, the meditations of your heart, and the words that you speak, they have power. They can either give life or they can destroy life. Remember that little Sunday school song? Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Y'all remember that? You have to be careful because you bear the image and the likeness of God Almighty. Let's get into the meat of this because I got to close in about 13 more minutes, all right? All right, so let's get into it. So we said three things. God's signature signifies his ownership, his quality, and his completion. Three things. This brings us to the next verse, and the one that we're going to really dig into. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The New Living Translation says, we are his masterpiece. God's masterpiece. Look at somebody, tell them, you're God's masterpiece. You don't look like it right now, but you're God's masterpiece. Why? Because you have been created. The believer has been created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God had said you would do in the beginning. But the devil stepped in. He said, you know what? I'm going to mess with God's canvas. I'm going to mess with God's program. And he'll tell you, you everything but a child of God. How many of y'all been called that? Yeah. But God keeps on working. The work of grace, the work of mercy. When you woke up this morning, God had mercy on you. The devil screamed at God, kill them! But God said, no, I'm a God of mercy. My mercy endures forever. I thank God. It wasn't my goodness that I got up this morning. When I laid down last night, nothing I could do, but God signed my sleeping orders so that bright and early this morning, I'd be able to put my feet over the edge of the bed and say, Lord, I thank you for another day. Look at somebody and say, God's signature. Yeah, he signed it. He signed the order for me to live and not die. Being in the military, I know what orders are. When we were given orders, they would send us to places. Am I right, Reverend Gibbons? We didn't want to go. But you got the orders and you got to go. But God signed my order that I would live today. I would be in the house of God giving him some praise and some glory. Fifth time, look at somebody and say, God's signature. How many of y'all ever watch Bob Ross? He's an artist. Not necessarily the greatest of artists, but I like the thing that Bob Ross does. Bob Ross would draw these wonderful scenes of trees and mountains and streams and flowers. And he'd talk you through the process. That's the thing I like about Bob Ross. He would say, let's put a mountain right here. And he would draw the mountain on the canvas. And he said, you know what? I think I want a flower in front of this tree right here. And he would draw the flower. And then he, in that little soft, smoking voice with the afro, he got to be a good guy, you know. He got an afro. And I'm saying, this guy is cool. And then before he completes the work, he said, looks like we're all done. And he'd write his name on there, Ross. God said to you and me, you're my masterpiece. And sometimes the masterpiece doesn't start out looking like much. But God uses the canvas of trouble. God uses the chisel of tribulation. God uses the hardships of life to add color and value to your life so that you can't say, I did this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The only reason why you're here today and you're not broken in a million pieces is that God kept putting you back together. I wish I had a witness in the building. Look at somebody and say, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Every time you go through something, don't look at it as this is the worst thing that could have happened to me. Sometimes it takes those rough places to bring the beauty out. Sometimes it takes those rough places to get you to praying the way you ought to pray. Amen. Sometimes it takes a hardship, amen, in order for you to get down on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy. You've got to look to Him and you've got to acknowledge Him for His glory and for His power. Remember those three things that we told you: God's quality, His ownership, and His completion. There are many things that can intrude your life to try to interrupt the process, but God keeps on the work. He keeps doing the work. Philippians 1, it says that He that hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. In other words, God's going to finish what He started. So I'm going to close by telling you that there are times in your life you're going to wonder, why in the world am I going through all of this, and why am I facing this hardship in my life? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works. I know some of you all have been to universities, right? You've been to colleges. You've been to places where you get certificates. But the best school you could ever be in is the school of hard knocks. Let me say that again. The best university you can be in is the school of hard knocks and hard times. How many of y'all been there? Watch this. Watch this. You were put to the test in order for you to have a testimony. If you didn't have the test, you ain't got nothing to say. But if you got through the test, thank God now you got a testimony that you can say, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Somebody ain't got it yet. Amen. You don't realize that God's working on you. God's signature. Every transaction that we go through today of any value, they require a signature. Recently, my wife and I decided we were going to change our houses because one day we're going to go through a permanent change. And there ain't a house down here. I know some of y'all knows and won't know where we live. That's all right. But when we went to transact the business, they said to us, please sign here. So we signed our names, which meant we seal the deal. It's now ours. We own it. God sealed the deal when He signed for your soul to be saved from hell. He signed it. You say, well, how did God sign it? He dipped the pen of grace into the blood of Jesus, and that's how you got saved. Not of works. Not of works. There was a dispute. There was a dispute down in Egypt. Pharaoh had taken some of God's people. And he said, they belong to me. He said, they're my slaves. They've been here. And God said, no. They don't belong to you. Moses, I'm appointing you as my agent. Go down there to Egypt and tell Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. But then God said, He's not going to want to sign them back over to me, so I'm going to give you authorization. I'm going to sign for you to have authority to use 9 plagues, and by the time you get to the last one, He's going to let them go. Watch this. Moses, 80 years old, went down into Egypt, which was the greatest dynasty of that day. Got up in the face of Pharaoh, shook the stick at him, said, let God people go. And Pharaoh said, man, who are you? And Moses said, you're going to find out. First plague turned the water into blood. Nobody drank water except the children of Israel. Why? Because God can work a miracle once He signs His signature. Second thing that God did, He had the frogs to come in. Frogs everywhere. And the magicians, they said, man, we can do that too. We can do that. So they created frogs. And why in the world would you create more problems? I don't know. But anyway, next plague. But when they got to the nets, the magician said, wait a minute. This is the finger of God. This is God signing for His people. Pharaoh, we're your advisors, and we advise you, let them go. because you're messing with God now. Are y'all listening to me? Long story short, Moses brought them out because of that last plague. Pharaoh had to let the people go. When he plagued them with the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh said, go and pray for me as well. The devil doesn't want to give up on you. Because it's funny that the devil can see more in you than you can see in yourself. Lord have mercy. But if you know the one who is laboring over you, if you knew the one who is there with you to shape and to form your life, you would say, Lord, keep on working. Look at somebody and say, Lord, keep on working. The same way that Moses brought the children out of bondage, God is saying to you, I'm working in your life. But you can't let circumstance and situations dictate to you that you're a nobody. God does not make nobodies. Even the tiny microorganism is somebody in the sight of God. And if he created them and they're not made in the image of God, you are made in the image of God. Square your shoulders. Hold your head up high. Tell the world, God brought me and he bought me with his blood. I thank God. I am somebody. As Jesse Jackson would say, I may not look like it, but I am somebody. I am a child of God. You got his signature. You got his signature. And I want you to recognize today as I go to my seat, you have God's signature. And because he signed off on you, he is now giving you his signature card. Oh, that's another sermon for another day. Y'all ain't got time to hear it now. You know, and in other words, God says, I authorize you to make a purchase in my name for anything that you need as you go through life. Because not only did I sign for you, I'm giving you my signature and my presence will go with you. Shout somebody. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God signed for you. He wants you to lift up your head and recognize that he is the living God. Can you give him some praise today? Can you give him some praise? Hallelujah, somebody. I'm so glad that God lifted me. I'm so glad that he changed my life. I was trying to sign my own name, but it was a forgery. But when I began to look to Jesus, and when I said, in Jesus' name, that's when the devil had to back up. As long as you're trying to promote yourself, you ain't gonna make it. But if God lifts you up, if God leads you, if God directs you, you can walk like you know that you got somebody. You got God's signature. You got his blessing. And as I said before, he didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Now let me tell you something before I go to my sleep. I'm putting my thing up under my arm. I'm getting ready to leave here. But one day, my wife and I realized that we're going to need a final house. But Jesus told us, we ain't got the sign for this one. Jesus told us we ain't got to pay a dime for this one. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Church, I don't know about you, but I got a brand new home over in glory. Shout yes, somebody. Shout yes, somebody. This old building keeps on leaning. This old building keeps on aching. This old building gets hard to live in, but thank God. I got another home over in glory. God bless you. I'm finished. Before I close, I want to give the invitation. If you don't have that house that's paid for, If you don't have that building and a key to that place, you need to get one today. How do I do that, preacher? Invite Jesus. He said, now if you give me your house, I'll give you my house. You ain't gonna give me your house, I ain't gonna give you my house. That's why I was glad, because I knew that in the exchange, I would have the greatest blessing of my life to walk with and to talk with God. Here's that one today, while the invitation is given. I preached 9 minutes overtime, so y'all made me do it. But if there's one, everybody stand, everybody stand. Invitation is given. Those of you online, if you want to be a part of God's family, humble your heart, say, Lord Jesus, come in. Write to us at crossroadbc.com, and we'll be able to help you with more things that you need to grow in your journey. If you're in here, you say, preacher, it's time. It's time. I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you, you can do that. Maybe you want to be a part of our church family. We invite you today. Invitation. Invitation.